Visit our website at BostonBastardBrigade.com for recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the B3 crew.
Become friends with us on MySpace at MySpace.com/BostonBastardBrigade, as well as on Facebook. You can even find our Twitter accounts on our official homepage.
And don't forget to check out our friends at the Electric Sisterhood at ESH.MOBI for another side of news and review, including their own glorious podcast show.
When the sisters are away, the bastards will play. It's time for the Boston Bastard Brigade.
Episode 107. He drops back. He passes. Touchdown!
Bastards and wenches, please rise for the Boston National Anthem.
For Boston!
Bastards and wenches, you may be seated, and welcome to another episode of the Boston Bastard Brigade. I am King Baby Duck.
I'm Blue Onik.
Mr. Cuse.
And Anvil.
And have you ever eaten something that was so good, but then the next day you just totally regret it?
Yes.
I had one of those moments yesterday. I was hanging out with my friends Sinyamont in Tokyo. Tokyo just got a job, and to celebrate, we went out to the Cheesecake Factory.
Oh, dude, that, you don't have to say anymore.
Yeah.
So,
I've had to rescue people from almost getting into diabetic comas.
The waiter comes up and says, "We have something new that's not on the menu yet. It's a brand new burger, but on top of the patty is like a nugget, a deep fried macaroni and cheese."
Ugh.
Interesting.
So, being in the celebratory mood with Tokyo and Sinyamon, I was like, you know what? I'm going to give this a try. Let me clog up just one of my arteries.
And you took out all four.
It was so delicious. But then
the next day.
Oh! It wasn't wreck the toilet bed, but it was like groggy walking around. Where the hell am I? Coming out of a drug coma type of feel.
No. Listen, I've had a burger that tops your burger.
You've had a burger that tops my burger. How does it top my burger?
Because, okay, I was with some friends who were up in Maine, and they have the ultimate double bacon cheeseburger. And you're thinking, double bacon cheeseburger is going to be my burger?
Yeah.
Ha! All right.
Now, before you continue, is this at the Eagles Deli?
No. It's a little no-name diner, really. It's a diner, and there's no name on it. We were just hungry and we decided to stop. And
it probably has a name, but probably the sign fell down.
Yeah, you know, it's like an old building, and it's called Chunk-O-Patty Burger.
Okay.
I know. It sounds horrible, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Fresh ground beef, and they actually mix the seasoning in with the meat when they grind it. Form two, you know, half-pound patties. So you're looking at a full-pound burger. Sounds pretty good right there.
Yep.
But then, you see this big old pot on the side. I'm like, what's in that pot? And I see them putting it down the grill. I'm like, it's a pot of bacon cooked down. And they take a big wad of it and form a bacon patty. And put that in between your two burgers.
Oh, that sounds painful. That sounds painful.
Then they cover it in barbecue sauce.
And that's where death comes in.
Wait. And then It's served with sliced habaneros.
The Grim Reaper is just standing right behind you going,
"I'll see you in a minute, brother." Exact voice, that's what I heard. Because I take a bite out of it, I'm like, I'm going heaven on this one. And all of a sudden I hear, "You're coming with me, brother." I'm like,
he's smoking a cigarette and you go, "You know those things are going to kill you." And he just like,
and he throws away, pulls out the cigar and the, you know, and the whiskey. "How about these?" I know those look pretty good.
But yeah.
Ugh. I would have to say Five Guys. That's it.
Five Guys. No. Five. Nah, okay.
That,
five.
That was bad deal. On the ass end of the deal.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Okay. Yeah, but we're just talking so good.
Oh, okay.
That you don't mind the pain after.
Oh, no, I minded the pain afterwards at this one, but...
Yeah, but it was worth it.
But yeah, it was worth it.
Five guys, we were all, you know, there were three of us and two bathrooms in this house. Your name is Lone Southern Recovery. No.
Correction, you two were in the bathroom. I just sat around twiddling my thumbs. I'm like, where did the other two go?
And then you hear... Oh, Bobby! And you're sitting there, it wasn't that bad. And then you finished your burger and you're banging your head off doors. Hurry
up! Oh, yeah, I forgot about that part.
All right, next.
We should probably stop talking about stuff that makes
sense. Next!
Actually, I'm sorry, I kind of want that burger now.
God damn it, yes. Okay,
I have a question. And four. I have a question for you.
Four.
42.
How is it that I can climb Mount Washington and feel absolutely no soreness and pain whatsoever the next day? Yet I do three songs on Dance Central and Connect, and my body feels like it's about to go into rigor mortis.
That is a very good question. That's basically saying why, you know, when I go to work and I work 8 hours and walk about 10 miles and I feel like somebody's been hitting me with a friggin' baseball bat on a constant basis. Yeah, I just have to ask that question.
Well, yes.
I can handle your answer before I throw my question. Real men do, you know, rock climbing. Real men don't dance.
And I agree.
I'm sorry, I could sit there, do 8 hours at my job, on my feet, you know, just like you, Blue, and I feel like I'm going to die. Mm-hmm. But me and Blue went and helped somebody up in New Hampshire put together a giant rock wall, and
we
carried boulders bigger than us, and we felt damn good leaving.
I think it might have to do with the wanting of doing it, even though I wanted to do the Dance Central, because I just bought Connect. And I'm loving it. Even though I have, like, the most minimum space possible for it to actually work.
When did you buy it, by the way?
I bought it yesterday.
Oh, okay.
Nice. Did you get that special shortening?
Not yet. It doesn't come out until next month.
Oh.
So when that does come out, I'm buying that, and we can probably do two-player.
Well, Duck, I need to tell you something.
Yes?
Don't buy a UFC trainer.
I already did.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm moving in. You are now in trouble.
Yes.
This house is going to implode on itself.
Yeah, you come in and there's a missing room. What's going to happen?
I threw a punch.
He'll practice his kick and just kick the side of the wall into the neighbor's yard.
Yep.
He's working on getting it back.
Nah.
But yeah, I bought UFC Trainer. I bought Connect. Connect Adventures came with it. And I also got Connect Sports.
Oh, yeah.
But my friend Cinemont brought over Dance Central. We were trying that. And it's fun, but you pay for it, like, right afterwards. Like, I was so drenched in sweat afterwards, and I literally had to change my clothes.
Wow. So, you got the ghetto edition. Got the booty, yes!
Come on the train. Woo! Woo! And ride
on. No.
Yep. Quad City DJs.
Yep.
Let me see your wallet. I need your man card.
Fine. Here's my goddamn man card. My wallet's not coming out.
You know, never mind. I'm actually going to make man cards just to be a jerk.
Yeah, that's our new membership.
Yes.
We have the B3 emblem in the corner.
Yep, yeah. B3 emblem. The man club. The man club.
No, we should have the bastard club and the bastet club.
Yeah, that's true.
And you need a card to enter the love shack.
Once I get that set up with the love shack.
It's like, the fight's about to start. You see people running, just jumping into the room and landing. I'm good.
Yeah.
So are you going to be in America's Best Dance Crew?
No. Fuck no. I hate that show.
Yeah. Wait. I know people that were on the show.
No.
Funk Phenomenon. They're from Lynn. I went to school with them. I actually taught one of the kids in Papuana. What is that?
That's his man card.
That's my crappy work card. Anyways.
What's it supposed to be?
Mm-hmm. Saying that I'm a master security officer. No, really? Anyway, so now...
We were on video games, and they finally came out with the demo for... What's so funny?
Don't worry about it. All right. Keep going.
They finally came out with the demo for Driver San Francisco, and this is a game that I played at E3, and I was very impressed with what I saw. I thought it was more akin to, like, the original Driver series. For this demo, they had one shift mission, which is where you can shift into any vehicle and just go crazy.
Yeah, that one. I saw a video on that, and that was actually pretty interesting because you could be driving by the car and you wouldn't have to jump out of the vehicle to run after the vehicle or slam into it just to get into it.
Because this game takes place in this guy's coma.
Whoa. Now that's sick. It's like, hey, look at that Ferrari. Whoop. Hey, I'm in the Ferrari.
Yep.
Hey, look at the supermodel next to me now.
I'm in the supermodel.
They actually made a joke about that. Hey, when you warp into a woman's body, do you? Yes, I keep both hands on the wheel. So they had a mission like that. They had a race where you control two racers where you have to ship back and forth and you have to go, you have to be first and second place, which is a lot difficult than what you would think. And then you have what is called an escapist mission where you basically have to escape from the police. Now I have a question for you, Ubisoft. What the hell did you do to the steering in between E3 and now?
They converted left to right and right to left and stop to go and go to stop and handbrake to left brake.
Because at E3, I had no issue with steering the cars. I was having a time of my life. I had no issues with turning and driving around. But in this demo here, one dink onto another car and I'm spinning out of control. And I lose the mission in a snap. I do not get why that happens. I don't get why this has happened between E3 and the release of the game. And I'm kind of ticked off at that. Yes?
One thing is because it's probably downloaded. So you had to download it, first of all, so it's not the actual hard copy. So it's
right.
I'm not trying to protect Ubisoft, right, now, but I'm more or less just saying...
But Ubisoft's a good company.
It is a good
company. You're a spy for Ubisoft.
No, I'm saying that when they go and design something and they put it out there for demo use, it's not going to be whatever the complete game is going to come out on that day and whatnot, and patches whenever they patch it, whatever. So.
And I was talking to the 2K guy, games guy at E3 about this because we were talking about the sports games. He says, hey, did you try out the new baseball game? And I go, yeah, I did. I just had an issue with the demo. He goes, yeah, we've been having a lot of problems with the demos, especially with the basketball one.
Mm.
But he says he's hoping that the next time around we can actually make a demo that will be the true gaming experience you will have when you buy the full version.
Great.
But on to Driver San Francisco, the game still looks great. In fact, the in-game animation kind of looks like something that you would see in a good CGI movie.
Yeah.
I want to say like a Shrek, more akin to what you would see
in... How about that Final Fantasy movie that they did? Was that because of the realism on
yes that okay was... That's a good example. Bad movie, but good example of the CGI effects.
Yeah, the story was crap, but
it wasn't even about Final Fantasy.
Yeah, it was what... about totally different subject altogether. They just slapped the name on it and called it Final Fantasy.
Yeah, Square Enix just needs to realize that they just really want to make movies after all the Final Fantasy games that they've come out with, that which has just been, you can move into a room, oh there's another movie, move into another room, oh there's another movie.
Yep. Sure wasn't about what your Final Fantasy wanted to be?
There wasn't porn in there.
No.
Alright, okay.
No. His Final Fantasy is probably my Final Fantasy.
No.
His Final
Fantasy. Yes.
We want whiskey, cigars, big sandwiches, and lots of naked women.
That's everybody's American dream, basically, nowadays.
Right.
Every
straight guy and lesbian's American dream.
And a really, really cool weapon.
Pretty sure.
Mm. But I'm going to say, I'm scratching my head over how the demo could be controlled this way, as it was practically flawless at E3.
Yeah.
So, for this demo, and this is, remember, this is not a grade of the actual game, because the game hasn't come out yet. I'm going to give it a 3 out of 5 for this demo, because they basically screwed the pooch on the goddamn controls.
Yeah. Alright. Yeah, that sounds right.
Alright. Now... You've recently gotten into...
Another Bungie game.
You want to talk about another Bungie game?
Yeah, that's actually From Dust.
You're kidding me.
I kid you not. That is a Bungie game. It is a Bungie... Starts up with Bungie. It's a Bungie game.
It is. I know it's Ubisoft.
Oh, my bad. Ubisoft, I'm sorry. They're both almost the same company to me anyways. They're just going to end up, I bet you within the next 5 years, they'll just end up mixing up somehow.
Yeah.
One company's going to do bad and the other one's just going to buy it out. And it's just going to be all one big company.
My money's on Ubisoft buying out Bungie.
Yeah, for the most part. But yeah, for the most part, From Dust, that is a awesome little game. And
Now let me ask you something.
Oh, I know this is going to come up, you jerk.
Can an atheist have a god complex?
Yes, I can, because I was having so much fun killing those little bastards once in a while. The name of the game is to save the little buggers that are tribesmen, basically, as I call them. They're
these weird square-masked dudes.
Yeah, they're probably what the original, or what they suspect it would be, the original people of the human race and whatnot.
Yeah.
Like, and what it is, yes, that too. And for the most part, it goes through the whole point where, you know, you finish a level and whatnot, they'll go through this cinematic. It's been the same cinematic the whole thing.
Yep.
I beat the game and whatnot. It was pretty good considering, especially the last part.
What was the first part?
And
the first part was too easy.
And it was very reminiscent of another game called Populous. I think we actually talked about this game in the big video game episode we did.
Yeah, we did.
Now, how many of you ever remember a game called Out of This World?
Nope.
I had this on my old IBM PS1 computer.
That's why.
And the rest of the world, for some reason, was called Another World. And you were like this guy, a physicist, that was transported into another world, and you had to survive. And the way it was done was very revolutionary at the time. And this guy who made this game is also the creator of From Dust.
So done. Yeah, that big video game one. Did you take a look at that online yet?
Yeah.
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 I love the comments. Somebody left 2 comments about me.
What's that?
Even though you weren't in that episode.
Well, in that episode, they said that I should have been in that episode because I make it funny, and they think I should write more articles.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And then in another one, they actually think I should talk more about the Yankees.
Yeah.
Yankees?
What?
Yeah, you know, ones that yank off a lot. Anyways, for the most part, the game is... It's kind of set up like, it doesn't have an endless amount of room on the map. There are blockades on the map. You can't go outside of it.
Right.
But for the most part, the area that they give you, you're capable of either raising land or naturally it comes up by itself because of the fact that you have to deal with volcanoes.
Yep.
You have to deal with actual dust or gravel or whatever the hell you can grab up and
right.
drop off into one area so you can create a little mini land bridge to get the character across. Which can be a pain in the ass sometimes because of the fact that when you're doing that and you're trying to make that, they sometimes won't make it up just the simplest little hill that you could just jump over.
Like, yes.
It has been a pain in the ass, but yeah, that game is pretty clever. With the
Now, did you get pissed off at the tsunami level like I did? The first one. Because there's a part where, you raise the land. Oh my god, there's going to be tidal wave. Quick, you got to go over to this point here to get this special song for all the tribesmen to chant to make the tsunami go away. And I get over there, and by the time I get to that point to grab the song, the tsunami comes and kills everybody.
Well, the first time I saw that happen, I was just like, okay, well that sucked. They got wiped out. Let's see what I can do to fix that. So as soon as I knew what the hell was going on and how it started, I sent one of those guys over there, I built a bridge, and as soon as they got over there, they got back in time to take care of the situation. And then, I didn't have a problem with that. I was able to get through...
Damn, I didn't think of that.
Yeah. But, it's kind of like the whole concept where, like, Bender ended up in space and that rock hit him and life started growing on him and, yeah, where you're trying to take care of all the situations, like, you know, they'll get to the point where they're running over and you have to get them to another place and there's a river in the way. What you try to do is you try to go and set it up so somebody can go, you know, get them across that area and whatnot without them getting swept away by the water.
Right.
Which, usually they're little bastards and they pop up to the thing and they go, zook, zook, and you're like, oh, god damn it, not another one. So you're trying to get them to go across areas, and I say one of the most difficult levels in the whole map system was one where it was almost everything all at once.
Yes.
One side was water coming down on the right side, the left side was just complete lava flow, and it was just utterly insane. I'm trying to, like, when I'm trying to take care of the lava flow, I'm trying to make it go so it goes back towards the other way, and then after you're doing that, if you're not paying attention after a while, it comes right back into the map.
Right.
Because it rebuilds itself to start going down the natural flow where it wants to.
Yes.
They designed it I have to say that the graphics and how they did the landscape and everything was just phenomenal. This game is
this game is
one of those step ups of all the rest that
it's original. It's totally different from anything we've ever seen in a game.
Yeah,
at least in a really long time. Because apparently this guy spent 6 years trying to develop this title.
Oh yeah.
So, from my perspective, from what I've played of it so far, I can probably give it like a 3.5 out of 5, just for the creativity alone. But I'm just having a little bit of the issues of trying to get a mission done in time, because I hate when they do that with the whole time mission thing.
I was able to do a lot of the missions, you know, on a time basis from what they were doing. It was either a little, like a minute over or a minute under. Either way, I was doing pretty good considering. I mean, I like the concept is you can enjoy the game.
Yes.
Like you can actually sit back. You don't have to give a crap about the time things unless you're playing the time trial modes. But if you're just playing the game itself, you could just sit back and enjoy and watch what happens to it. Because what it is when you start getting water onto the land, like if you drop a little bit of water on the land and that goes off of where the tribe is at their tiki, whatever the hell it is, they'll actually, that land will start, you know, prospering and vegetation will start going over. Which vegetation, when the vegetation comes in, the animals start coming in.
Yes.
Which I think they could have done a little bit more where you had the actual tribesmen go after the animals and start killing them and showing them that, like, they're getting food and whatnot.
Yeah.
Or otherwise, other stuff that they could have done. But for the most part, it shows that you're trying to make not just your tribe survive, but the actual island or whatever is around you survive. Mm-hmm. Because if, say, a fire tree is in the place and whatnot, which I bet you didn't even get to deal with.
No.
You did the demo. Well, there's a pain in the ass fire tree, and it saying it's right in the middle of the ground, the area where there's a lot of vegetation, mm-hmm. that could set off a spark, and it'll fire up all the land that's going around the tribe, and it will come into their tribe. So if you got to get to the stone, that's the firestone. When you get the firestone, you're able to take and keep the fire back or shut it off, and it's pretty interesting. But also you can shut it down if you remove the dirt underneath the tree.
Yes.
And then you pour water into it, it turns into like a carcass of the tree or something like that.
Oh.
And then with that, you know, it finally gets to the point where you can actually do, and you can finally take and play play as an awesome, you know, setup to keep your tribe going. And then you'll get to the point where you finish the map, you can get the main tiki or something like that to get into the underground to get to the next map.
So
Their design of the game is damn interesting, and I have to say, I want some more downloadable content from this.
Yeah. Now, if you're wondering why I just laughed my ass off, Blue-Eye threw his hat at Ammo because he was making fun of the way that he was explaining things.
Jerk.
I'm calling the police.
Good. Now, what the?
Yeah, that's a stupid little light thing.
Yeah. He's dumb apps for a smartphone.
Yeah.
Now,
whoa, that comment is definitely caution. You're running out of now up.
Okay, so I was going to do a bit of a review for Madden NFL 2012.
Oh, wait, my rating for that game, 4.5 out of 5.
Okay.
Rating?
Thanks, Jerk.
I was going to talk about Madden NFL 12, the demo for that, but everyone knows Madden games are always really good, so why bother? So I want to ask all of you.
Wait, I do have something I want to say about that. The game is $60, like normal, right?
Right.
And you know how all the commercial team I'm saying it comes with? You know, as long as you pre-order it, the AFC and NFC teams?
Yes.
How come when you go to GameStop's website,
yeah.
you have to pay an extra $30 for those two free teams? That's the Hall of Fame package. You get the game with those for an extra $30.
Jesus Christ. Damn. Well, no. This is
go to Walmart, then.
Well, this is what I'm asking.
Okay, what are you asking?
Do we really need to release a new Madden game every year?
Yes, because teams change.
Well,
no, you change the game, gets better each year it comes out. I think we do.
Listen to this.
With
the whole systems, if you are connected to the internet, they should be able to upgrade that right away. And what this would do is that would give them...
Thank you!
I can understand where King's coming on this one. Saying if they would do everyone like they did the 2010, they skipped 2011 and made it 2012. Because 2012, that means that gives them two more years. Or that time span to be like, okay, we're going to do this and make the graphics better. And then we're going to make the gameplay like this. This is what we've also learned how this team plays. This team plays this way. This is what they got for a coach. And then we can update it on a daily basis because of that. Then they can see what's going on.
You can update the daily roster, trades, NFL Hall of Fame type of stuff.
I just kind of really hope that when they do this one, that they do have like Ocho Cinco and Haynesworth.
Ocho, my favorite player.
Haynesworth, baby.
Haynesworth, yeah.
Well, of course, that's what the thing is if your Xbox is plugged in and whatnot, and you
got
in,
the Xbox Live.
They have automatic downloads usually right at the start of the game, and it will download
update
it.
But yeah, I mean, like last year they had Gus Johnson for the first time, and that was a big upgrade from Chris Collinsworth and stuff like that. So the announcing I thought was one of the bigger parts. Plus, you could play in the Super Bowl, and if you won, the confetti came down. Another cool aspect of it.
Right.
I kind of wish that they'd actually do the ones where you could pick your announcers of all the people that's ever called the game.
Hmm. Which is weird because you could do that in the rugby game. And maybe we can talk about the rugby game after this one.
Maybe.
But I feel like...
John Sanders called the game. Come on.
But my issue with this is that, okay, they release one every year. But it feels like it's going to be the same game over and over again. Whereas if you do like... Madden NFL 12/13, and just when new trades come in, you will automatically get like some sort of like a update. It's like, because you know how when an update comes, it says Xbox has been disconnected. It says, hey, you got to download this update so all the rosters are going to be up to date.
Yeah, they or could do patches and whatnot.
Patches, thank you, and just fix all that stuff and update everything. So that way, they won't have to worry about releasing a new game every year.
They can do a setup where you could just leave it alone, where you don't have to update and just leave it as the game as is that you got. So you wouldn't get the update.
But you have to update. There's injuries, there's trades, there's a lot of stuff that goes on. Right.
There's a draft.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that goes on that you have
to. Truthfully, you have to think about how many players get drafted alone. They couldn't add all those to.
Yeah, but these games it's getting so scary that you can actually. You can actually let the computer play the game all the way out, and you can watch it by yourself. And just sit there and watch the game and be like, okay, let's see how this actual game is going to go on, and you watch it that weekend and whatnot, and it almost is about the same, and it almost comes out about the same
way. It's just like a random fumble or something.
Maybe a win or something along those lines that wasn't played in the actual game, but they've done such a great job with the characteristics of the actual players to the actual real players in real life, so they've done a great job with the series itself. But I'm just... It's still kind of... I'm not the crazed fanatic NFL fan when stuff like that comes
right. out. Right. And that's... You see, and that's why I have the big issue with
I mean, like, in the sense that I don't play it, like... I mean, I love the NFL. I'm just not like, I gotta play the game. You know, it doesn't feel... It doesn't...
Good save right there, huh? Now you love the NFL.
Well, no.
Mister, I watch...
No, I mean, like,
football.
The freaking commercial where the freaking guys go
NFL.
UFO. They pop out at the Times Square and they start tossing the game out to all the people and stuff like that and stuff flying from the air and there's confetti and crap like that. I'm like, no, that's a little bit too much, guys. Calm down.
But I feel like NFL or Madden's not the only one that's guilty. I feel like every sports game should be able to do something like this because of all the updated rosters. And okay, if you want to maybe charge. Say, like, when 2012 was over and 2013 is there, charge maybe, like, 500 Xbox points to update everything for the 2013 season.
Yeah.
That wouldn't be too bad instead of plopping another $60 down.
Yeah.
Do a game they should bring back.
What?
MVP baseball to MVP baseball.
Duck Hunter.
They did. Anyways, I want to say World Series baseball. That would have been great to see because of the fact that right now... If you watch what games are on the shelves and whatnot, NFL, Madden, that's like the only true NFL football game.
Yeah. Right.
But if you go to baseball, there's two. There's one from like 2K Sports.
MLB the Show
as well. Yeah, and then you've got what?
You got the first party and then you got the third party.
Yeah, there's one of those things where you've got multiple versions of MLB or the basketball. I mean, I know you got the college basketball. There's two different versions
there's
of 2K, the college. Yeah, 2K again, and it's one of those things. But NFL, Madden, has always been Madden NFL. There hasn't been really any other sports
right.
one
I mean,
have the significant yeah. basis of Madden.
They had Blitz a while
we
ago.
We had 2K. The 2K did it for a while. We had the NFL Blitz come
yeah,
out.
That's what I said. Yeah.
But that was like drugs and whatnot.
But no. You're thinking of Blitz the League. Before
yeah,
that,
Blitz
it was,
the League. Okay, my bad. Blitz the League was like you're living this lifestyle with playing football. So you'd be like, hey, I'm going to take roids, but I'm going to have somebody take the piss test for me. Something stupid like that. But
and then you'd actually have to inject them.
Yeah.
Move it to the vein.
Yeah.
Yeah. You failed.
Now here, go knock some one. Person out at a club.
Here's the giant weed. Here's the giant weed wear.
Yeah.
The because,
and then it's like, go to a nightclub, accidentally shoot self in the leg.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, no, run from the police.
Going to jail. Self-inflicted wound.
2 years in prison.
Yeah, so it just, sorry, it's one of those things that Madden is kind of like the monopoly of NFL for game systems.
Yes. Okay. But, in all seriousness, do you think that maybe the sports titles should release games every year, every other year? Your final thought.
Every year.
I think every year.
Every other year, because they've got to give the game guys a break so they can actually have a life.
Every other year, because I feel like they're just squeezing too much money out of their demographic that way.
Wait, let me text our sports director and get his answer.
You are the sports director, dumbass.
Exactly.
Also, I have another thing to say. If you guys want it every other year, you don't have to buy it every year, too. If you really like the version, you can just keep 2012, ooh. 2013 comes along, and then you just play your
yeah,
version.
Yeah, but then...
So you don't have to buy it every year if you don't want to
yeah,
do that.
But then you've see? Got... No, listen. Then all you've right. got the online players. And then when they buy the new game, the other one kind of becomes a desert, isolated area where you're the only one online.
Or otherwise, it's like another Modern Warfare 2. There's always somebody playing it.
But do you guys play it online?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I've tried to play it online. But that's the only thing is people that literally are paid to play the game or they have literally no life, and they're like the ones that are like Warcraft, you know, drawn to the Madden game where they'll just play on a constant basis. They know how everything works. They know how your team works because of the fact that they've played it so many times.
If you play yes. simulations, yeah. Exactly.
Absolutely, with simulations. But I feel like if they just went every other year, it would be less of a hole in your pocket. And like you mentioned, Blonick, it would give the developers more time and focus to go in and say, what can we do better?
It's hard to be able to sit there every day in, day out, you know, trying to work on something and try to come out with something fresh. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, yes, there are new people coming into the thing, and they sometimes have good ideas, but they'll get crapped on because of the guys that have been there for a while. Like, that's stupid. No, that won't work. But they're ones that, you know, from what I've been hearing from Teg and whatnot, a lot of the game developers are being forced to work. And I mean, like, slavery. Like, yeah, we want you to build the pyramids, five times as big as it is now, but you're going to work all day, you know, from 6 o'clock in the morning till 9 o'clock at night, and you're going to be lucky to see your wife or kids when you go home or something like that. So, yeah, I'm not liking that idea so much.
Jeez.
I
thought the anime animators had it rough.
No, they get stuck in a tiger cage. That's a whole different process. But for the most part, I have to say that, you know, as for designs and stuff like that, from what I heard from Rockstar and a lot of the players, a lot of the people that have tried to put it in the games, they put their life into it, basically.
But that's not going to happen because it's such a big deal. You know, also, each year a new player is on the cover. That's a pretty big deal for people, and people just love the game. So I don't think it's gonna change. Is what I'm saying. That's the way I think it's gonna be.
Yeah, well, they're capitalists, so more or less they're just gonna be like money, 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 money. So it won't matter.
It's crack baby basketball all over again.
Yep.
So while we're on the subject of sports, let's move around some things. Let's move into the subject of sports. Anvil, you can stop sexting.
Yeah, put that away.
I actually watched a really good game the other day.
Uh oh.
Yes.
How good was it?
It was championship-tastic. I have no clue where to spell that word from.
You're talking about the Arena Bowl one, correct?
Yes. So, I watch Arena Football because to me, football is football. As long as you can crack somebody and the ball flies through the midair, I'll probably watch it. You know, NFL, UFL, CFL, Arena.
Rugby.
Lingerie Football League.
Lingerie. Nice.
Woo! Giddy giddy.
I'm a friend of this on Facebook.
Okay.
So, I've been watching Arena for quite a few years, and I'm going to push it back a little bit, but there's this guy, his name was Aaron Garcia, and he used to play for the Barnstormers.
Barnstormers?
Yeah. I know. But now he plays for the San Jose, yeah. Now I'm thinking about a movie. And he plays for the Jacksonville Sharks. He's considered the Dan Marino of arena football. Holds all the records, but never won a championship.
And what I have a question. He's been with the team throughout...
No, he's been with different teams.
Oh, okay.
So, it came down... He finally made his very first Arena Bowl. His first attempt launches at the entire length and scores.
Okay.
Back and forth, a few mistakes, right before the half.
But the arena football is smaller.
It's 50 yards.
Yeah.
Exactly. Wasn't like, I just launched it 100 yards down the... Yeah.
But 50 yards is still pretty good.
And he threw it dead-on accurate.
I mean, no one can throw it 100 yards in the NFL anyways.
Yes, they can.
No, they can.
No, they can.
Yes, they can.
No.
John.
No. All right, whatever, anyways.
You do realize in, leading up into the draft, they do have a competition. I think the furthest anyone's thrown it with a running start was 73 yards.
Yeah, they don't throw from end zone to end zone. That would be just insane.
That would be awesome.
It would be amazing.
So, Jacksonville actually had a chance to extend their lead at the half. Running back fumbled to the 1 yard line. Other team gets a shot. They take the score. Take it into halftime.
Mm-hmm.
Game goes, comes down to the end. Jacksonville's down. Less than a minute left. Aaron Garcia, engineers a drive. 2 seconds left on the clock. He's falling down and he throws the ball to the end zone. Cut. Jacksonville wins. Aaron Garcia takes his Super Bowl. What more do I have to say? Thank you.
He's been working hard for it his entire career.
17 years.
17 years. You got to give it up for him.
That's right. Woo-woo. There you go.
Yep.
All right. So, staying with football, I went to the Pats-Jaguars game Thursday night. The backups played very well. None of the starters played for the Patriots besides, I guess, you could say Edelman. Edelman played in...
Spikes, Cunningham.
You're right. Cunningham did play a little bit.
And Spikes together.
But the majority, I guess the majority of the starters didn't play. But it was, it was a good sign because Mallett played, and he played. Ryan Mallett had a very good game, escaping pressure, and he threw a couple of touchdown passes. Hoyer also played, who's the second backup, I guess you could say, and he had a good game. Ridley and Medley, their running backs, played well. Each had a couple of touchdowns. Price had a couple of nice catches. So it was a good game all around. I'd say the defense a little bit shoddy. But other than that, they played well. They're playing against the Jaguars' second team. Because the Jaguars... For the most part. So it was a good start to the season. Obviously, it's different than playing against, one of the top-tier teams. But I was impressed with what I saw. It's a good start to the season. And these guys are fighting... some of these guys are fighting for their jobs.
Yeah, most of them are. Guys like Ridley, who actually scored 3 touchdowns, 2 rushing on 1 yard rushes, and had a 7 yard receiving, makes a really good case for why he should be staying here. Along with, Taylor Price, that phenomenal touchdown catch he had.
Mm-hmm.
Defense, I actually think they held up pretty well. I mean, they allowed 4 field goals, but not a touchdown.
Mm.
So, they held up very well, and you have to think, these are backups. These are nobodies, really.
Yeah, that's true.
Right.
I always love when, we had a punt, and the punter came out, and people are like, who? For one, nobody really knows who our punter is.
It's Mesko.
Well, there's another kid, too.
Oh, yeah. Well, Mesko played a little bit, too.
Yeah, Zoltan Mesko.
Yeah.
Which, I'm sorry, greatest name ever for a punter. Reminds me of, a magician. Zoltan puts ball where they cannot touch. Whoa! Yeah.
The other thing I forgot to mention is not like it's for the Patriots side, but the Jaguars had a couple of punts that went, 10 yards. So, pretty embarrassing.
Those were phenomenal punts for a 5-year-old.
Actually,
I think my nephew could punt better. He's
16
months old. I think he could have done better.
They weren't even deflected either. That's the other sad thing about it. They just punted it, shanked him. So, Anyways, but, you know, it was a good showing, and it was a good start to the preseason, so.
I actually got a chance to watch some more of the games over the weekend, because Friday, Saturday, well, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, there's been football. Mm-hmm. There's actually some more games today. Saw some good ones, saw some things that I really like. Jake Locker for the Titans looked phenomenal. Who else do we have out there? The Colts got destroyed by Sam Bradford and the Rams. It was like 30-3 final. What else did we have?
But the question, Peyton didn't play though, right?
Oh, he's still trying to get his arm strength back.
Oh, okay.
Because he didn't work out and he has always... Peyton's a bitch.
They both are.
Too many friggin', what, Reebok commercials?
Look, there's only one man I actually have respect for.
Eli?
No, Archie. No. Hey, he played old school football. He knows how to play.
Yeah.
Mm.
I'll give that man some credit. Mm. I mean, Eli...
There you go.
Oh, thank you. Eli sat there and he's like, "Oh, you're judged by San Diego. I don't want to play here. Send me to New York." But I'm just going to run through some of the scores real quick that are significant. My favorite is my secondary team. Now, we all know I'm a dire Pats fan, but I have a secondary team.
Oh, you
call it. It keeps me humble. The Detroit Lions beat Cincinnati 34-3.
Nah.
Anybody else excited but me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm hoping the Lions have a good season.
And did Stafford play?
Yes. He looked good. He looked
nice.
Good.
They're actually a sleeper team to make the playoffs this year.
They are. Especially with that front.
Yeah.
Fairley.
Sue and...
Vandenbosch.
Yeah.
Oh. Cleveland Browns beat the Packers
27-17. Uh-oh, defending champs. Go out in the first preseason game.
Oh, I'm sorry. The ending game was 33-10. I apologize. Oh, okay. I didn't give them enough points. Carolina beat New York. Chicago beat Buffalo. Tomorrow is the Jets game. And this is one more. But other than that, I mean, it's preseason.
There's nothing to really be like, holy crap, that's spectacular yet.
I mean, unless Brady comes out and he long snaps the ball the length of the field, you know, and one of our guys jumps up flat on his back, reaches, you know, behind his back, catches it through his legs and lands on his feet.
Maybe. Just maybe.
I'd pay $1 million to see that. What else do we got, Mr. Hughes?
Okay, we have the Red Sox, who played the Yankees, and... Sunday night, it was Beckett versus Garcia. Beckett threw six good innings, gave up one run. So, you know, he's pitched well, not gotten a lot of wins, but his ERA has been very good. But in the 10th, Josh Reddick hit a walk-off single to win that one. So we took 2-3 from our arch rivals, the Yankees, and got ahead of them. So that was awesome. And then we played the Twins, and we took 2-3 from the Twins. Let's see, two nights ago... We came back and won 6-4. Lackey had a horrible outing, 10 hits, 4 runs. But Josh Reddick homered. David Ortiz hit a home run.
Oh, that was a beauty, too.
Yeah. And so that was a good comeback win, which I did not think we would win. But then last night, Beckett gave up 5 runs in the first inning, 2 home runs. And you want to talk about the controversial play that happened?
There was. The Sox wound up losing 5-4 in last night's game. But there's a play. Guy hits it out. Ichiro catches it. Ellsbury tags up and comes home from third. Ball comes in. Ellsbury slides, knocks down the catcher. Doesn't appear that the ball touches Ellsbury. He's called safe. A few seconds later, he's called out. Francona comes out to argue. He gets ejected. Now, last time I checked, an umpire could not change it unless it's a home run, which can be reviewed.
Mm-hmm.
Once you call, you know, the guy safe, I didn't think you could change it again.
It almost seemed like because Seattle was arguing, he decided to huddle up and change it, which, I mean, personally, I thought it was the right call, but it makes sense that you can't just change it unless, you know, they do some kind of...
In my, you know, from the way I saw it, it looked like the ball was in his bare hand and he's moving it to the glove.
He switched, yeah.
And the ball was still in his bare hand when Ellsbury had him. So the hand never touched Ellsbury, and it wasn't a forced play. And the ball has to be in the hand or the glove, whatever touches the person. I can't sit there and have a ball out here and tag you over here. So, in my opinion, Ellsbury was safe, and that should have went tie and seen where we could have went from there.
So wait, you actually have to have the ball tag you.
The ball
you.
Has to tag him, yeah.
You just couldn't go, I had the ball here.
Well, I mean, you
have to... Unless it's a force. Mm-hmm. It was.
Even with the whole concept of the guy, I mean, that's kind of hard to say because of the fact is you got the glove and your foot's on the base. That counts as an out. Because
that's a force play.
Yeah, it was, you know... He had to tag him because he was coming home, and it wasn't like a
was
double
this a
play
train wreck?
For home to.
Oh yeah, other way ran him over. His
helmet
to the face.
His face guard fell off, or his whatever. It fell off, so it was a bang. It was a you know,
it was a
good hit. Yeah, that's it for baseball. The Red Sox are now one game ahead of the Yankees, who won last night, like 9-2. So
yeah.
It's getting a little closer, getting a little tighter, but you know.
But that's how we like it in Boston.
We like a good nail biter.
There we go.
Yeah.
Mine too.
Well, I've saved my left ring finger just in case.
Yeah.
I lost those during the Arena Bowl game.
Meh.
So, why don't we talk about... Because last week we talked about the Football Hall of Fame inductions. This past week, we had the Basketball Hall of Fame inductions.
I'm in!
Just as long as Jordan wasn't there again.
He wasn't. I was actually...
Ego never left.
He's still giving that stupid speech of his.
Every night, all the bus stuff their ears because Jordan's bus starts giving the speech again. But unfortunately, it starts off like Muhammad Ali. I am the greatest! Michael Jordan.
But I play against my players, even though I am the owner. Remember he did that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was kind of calm.
But... One of the inductees I was really shocked about, Dennis Rodman.
Why not? He played a really good career.
You see, that's what I didn't know about because of his life outside of the court.
What do you mean?
Yeah,
didn't
that was
wear a dress to his own wedding?
And just,
Blue did that.
Blue, you did that?
Wait a second. I've been wedded? What? When the hell did that happen?
Remember that time 2 years ago you went to Las Vegas? We introduced you to Siegfried.
No.
Well, you married the tiger.
But
you have little babies,
right?
But with Dennis Rodman, he actually gave the speech that I would have expected Michael Jordan to actually give, as like the more humble, that sort of thing. Because he thanked a lot of people. He thanked especially the commissioner David Stern. And the community for, quote, to even just have me in the building. And he especially thanked four people. Phil Jackson,
mm-hmm.
Chuck Daly,
mm-hmm.
Jerry Buss, and James Rich.
That's right.
The last person, James Rich, brought Rodman into his house after his mother threw him out.
Yeah.
He thanked these guys for looking at him not for his antics, but for someone that had a good heart. And was just an individual.
What color was his hair?
Blonde.
Blonde.
It was blue.
Blonde.
I don't know.
It was ridiculously blonde. I thought I saw the picture of him on ESPN.
Yeah, it was blonde.
Okay.
Thank you.
I wish he went with a color. Blonde's not really a color. Mm-hmm.
You know, there's someone else I think should have thanked. John Sally, former NBA player. Because
John Sally
was saying how when he first came... to the Pistons, you know, he just basically played video games all day. He didn't socialize, and John Sally got him to become someone who's more social, have more fun, be relaxed. So, in my opinion, he
made
him
very rebellious.
Right. Yes, exactly.
That made him the crazy man that he is today.
So, because of John Sally, pictures of dressing.
Well, let me say this other quote from during this speech. I didn't play the game for the money. I didn't play the game to be famous. What you see here is more. Just an illusion that I love to just be an individual that's very colorful. Do you think that's true or not?
Yeah, definitely.
Very true?
Yeah. Well, he did also talk about a little bit about his, you know, his family, and now that he's, you know, he's been retired for a while, he wants to spend more time with his kids and be a more family man. He said...
Right, he's trying to fix his relationship with his own parents.
Exactly, yeah.
I mean, even his father, he and him aren't even on speaking terms. Because the fact that he left him when he was such a little kid, and he was looked up to these coaches that I mentioned before as a sort of father figure to him.
Yeah.
So it was really nice to see Dennis Rodman in such a way that we've really never seen him before. We've never seen him like as the remorseful, regretful type of person saying, maybe I shouldn't have done this, maybe I shouldn't have done that, but I really thank you all for letting me become part of this Hall of Fame for what I had done.
I mean, yeah. I mean,
for the good.
As far as basketball-wise, he led the league in rebounds seven times, and he averaged 17 rebounds throughout his career, maybe four or five times, remarkable in itself. So he, it wasn't first points, but to be able to out-rebound everyone like that year after year is just, I think, is pretty incredible. It's not all about points, too.
Yeah, he won quite a few championships, too.
Yeah. He was on that Bulls team that
won 5 games. So. And then he also, I believe, the Pistons as well.
Two of the Pistons, I think, yeah.
And 5 with the Bulls.
Yeah.
So 7 championships. That's not shabby.
That's pretty good.
Isn't that more than Jordan has?
Possibly.
Just have to say that.
Maybe.
I think Jordan only has like 6.
Yeah, I think so.
Well, I might have to double check that.
I mean, nobody's a beat Bill Russell, but...
Right. Yeah, 8's... Well, actually, well, 11
no,
total.
Hit no, eight. I have it right here. Dennis Rodman, 5 NBA championships.
That don't make sense.
With the Pistons and the Bulls.
Hmm. That's weird.
Still don't make sense. Math sucks.
So he must have won... So 3 with the Bulls, 2 with the Pistons?
I think so.
How many does Jordan got?
I think he's got 8.
No, he doesn't have 8.
No,
I think he has 6. I think you're 6. Right, Anvil.
6-time NBA championship. You are correct.
Yeah, the only one, I mean, Russell has 8, and then he won 3 as a... He's won a couple as a
no.
coach.
All no, all as a player. He played 9 years in the NBA, and all but 1 year he won. It's just people forget he was a player coach for a couple of
years. Oh, okay. Oh, player coach. Okay, that makes sense.
He's still playing. All
right.
But yeah, I'm not, sorry, not right. He played 12 years and won 11 championships.
Oh, okay. All right.
I just got it mixed up as I was thinking about Jordan again.
Yeah, okay. I got the player coach thing mixed up. Okay.
Yeah. But hey, I love that picture of him wearing all the rings.
Uh-huh.
What up, punk? I mean, there's people with the same amount as him, but he earned all of his as a player. Some of them, they, retired from playing, one time as a coach, and then one time as an executive. It's like, dude, that don't count.
Mm.
You're an executive. How does that count? Because I was an executive.
I executed the play. Executed the wins.
I pointed an Xbox controller upstairs, and, I was controlling one of those suckers down there.
With about that,
special chip in the back of his neck.
It's like, well, see, what wound up happening was, our quarterback, our point guard, he was feeling stressed, so I plugged in the Xbox to help him relax. And he had a great game because he was relaxed because of me.
Yeah.
At
the time, I didn't know that I was being controlled by another player up in the rafters. He told me he was just injecting me with vitamins.
With brain acne.
I didn't know he was injecting me with these little... small robots that have him control my body whenever, which explains why he has me doing weird jumping jacks and dances. Well, it's getting really annoying.
Well, if Sammy Sosa had won, he thought it was a B12 vitamin too, so it could have been someone, did it to him. Palmero, maybe, yeah.
Oh, yeah, definitely. All of them.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so anything else in sports?
Yeah, there is actually. There's the PGA Championship. What? What did you say?
He warm burned. Anyway.
All right. Okay.
What?
Warm burn.
What's that?
You never heard of a warm burner?
No.
Mm-hmm.
That's basically what you do every time you're at the driving range.
I never heard of that either. I play golf. It's a warm burner.
You suck. Anyways. Yeah. What it is when you hit it, it doesn't fly out straight and, climb. It actually goes along the ground and skips on the ground. It's called a worm burner because it hits a carousel.
That's not a real golf term.
Yes, it is.
Is it really?
Yes, it is.
That's what I do with the range. At least I get some distance with my Happy Gilmore baseball swing.
Yeah, when you let go of a golf club.
That's like a skip, but okay, maybe that's a term for it, too. All right, anyway, so...
he's looking it up right now.
Sure, just go ahead. Just
speaking. I'll keep going. Okay, so... Steve Stricker, who actually,
death with my phone.
Out of the last 10 years, is probably the best player not to win a major championship. He had a 63, which was tied the best opening round ever for a major. But now, actually, Brandon Steele and Duffner lead at 7-under, and Stricker is 3 back in the tournament.
7-under what?
7-under par.
Uh-huh.
What do you think of it? Okay. Anyway, so...
I don't know much about golf.
Okay, that's right. Today is the last round, and a lot of the people know the leaderboard you probably haven't heard of, but for once, the top 10 is mostly Americans. The last three majors have been won by all Europeans. So yep. That's kind of nice.
I'm not peeing, I'm just
going to
drink.
So we'll see what happens, but it should be exciting, and may the best golfer win.
And you've already mentioned what happened with Tiger Woods, right?
Tiger Woods...
he bunted!
Epic failure.
Yeah, he did not make the cut after the second round. And
that's why you wanted it.
He's done for golfing for a while, so I'm sure a lot of people are obviously very pleased about that. But, you know, he shot 81. I mean, seriously.
He's out of it because he tried bunting in golf.
Yeah.
That usually happens. Except that it was a bad joke, because, you know, he bunted in golf.
A little bit of both.
Hey, yes, it's kind of funny to watch somebody try to bunt in golf.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So, I think that's about it for the sports segment.
Alleged next.
Yes. Well, you've got that movie you saw, 30 Minutes or Less.
Yes, okay. So, I saw...
It only took 29 and a half.
Oh, we're going to change the name of the movie now because of you?
Yes.
Right.
29 minutes or less. Alright, so I saw this comedy called 30 Minutes or Less with Danny McBride, Nick Swardson, Jesse Eisenberg, and Aziz. Basically what happened was that Jesse Eisenberg he works at a pizza shop. He's always delivering pizza, but he's always like, you know, 10, 15 minutes late. And if he is late at all for delivering the pizza, he has to give the pizza for free to his customers. So then you have Danny McBride and Nick Swardson, who are best friends, and Danny McBride's dad is a very strict guy. He was in the war, and he makes them do menial jobs for little amounts of money, and they really don't like their dad, so they come up with a plan to get rid of their dad. Basically what they do is that Eisenberg shows up for pizza at Danny McBride's place, and they strap a bomb to him and tell him he has 10 hours to rob a bank and get $100,000 or the bomb will explode. So that's all I'm going to say about the movie. I don't want to ruin it, but it was extremely comical and very witty, and the acting was very good, and I would give it a 4.8 out of 5. I would say not 5 out of 5 because the acting could have been a little better, but I was laughing the whole entire movie. So it was, I definitely recommend it.
Okay.
I saw Captain America. Captain America is good.
Very
good. But yet, it was still kind of iffy. I felt that they shouldn't have wasted all that time on the whole aspect of making a mockery of Captain America. There's like this whole thing where they're like, yes, we made you the ultimate super soldier, but we have to shut down the project because there was, insiders on the thing. So,
psych Hitler!
We want you to do this, and we want you to do this and whatnot. And they had him doing O shows, basically, at the, for the troops. Well, actually, first it starts off with him with the shield and holding it. It was a crappy little, it was actually full metal shield, but it was a crappy one. It wasn't the rounded one that he has. And he had the paper built into the back of, the shield so he could actually say what it is to sell war bonds. But basically what he was being used for was to sell the damn war bonds for so long. And he did, the only time that he actually got to do anything was when he actually went into battle himself. So it wasn't like he was sent in. And all of his other, guys and whatnot, they were in trouble. And it was about, I think they said about 500 guys went in. And either all of them were either killed or captured or something like that.
So, right.
But and he goes in and he basically was able to get all of them out. I think it was awesome because of the fact that the stormtroopers or shock troopers actually had these weird like ray guns that could actually incinerate you, which kind of sucked because of the fact when you incinerate, there's nothing to claim. You don't know if they died or not, so it's an MIA basically instantly.
Yep.
So
unless you watch them die.
Yeah.
Now
I saw Frankie die. Okay. All right.
How was Hugo Weaving in this film?
Hugo Weaving did a great job. He's just a phenomenal actor altogether. There's nothing you could really, you know, you couldn't stick Hugo Weaving in and have a great, you know, I mean, look at him. He went from Priscilla
Queen of the Desert, yep,
to Agent Smith in The Matrix, along with whatever his job.
He voiced a dog in Babe.
Lord and Taylor.
Lord of the Rings.
Lord of the Rings, I'm sorry.
Lord and Taylor.
Lord and Taylor, yeah, because I don't know where I work anymore. Next to that, yeah, they did, you know, he does a great job, especially with the Red Skull, like, makeup. They didn't make it look, like, cheesy or whatnot. They did a pretty damn good job with it. Although, I have to say there was parts that were kind of cheesy and whatnot. But leading up to what's going to be going on for the Avengers series, it led up to me wanting to watch the Avengers even more now.
Right. And you've watched the cartoon, too.
I watched the cartoon, but I don't think that there's going to be a totally different basis. It's very different because, you know, they didn't even really send the Hulkbuster after the Hulk. They finally got the Hulk to come to them and, like, help them that way. It wasn't like they sent in the Hulkbuster. But a lot of the stuff that went in on the Avengers and stuff ended up being either partaking of their own stupid will. Like, they did something, and later on down the road, something came back to haunt them. Mm-hmm. It was one of those things where they have the Voltrons or something like that. There's these robots.
Right.
And they were the ones that were trying to help, you know, make the prisoners all better. And the Ant-Man, whatever the hell his name is, he goes and he programmed them to try to rehabilitate the people that are in there. But what he's really doing is just pissing off the people that are in the thing. They're like, how are you doing today? And the thing is sitting there and they're like, just screaming and, yeah. So, for the most part, I'm going to have to say Captain America was at least probably like a 4.6. It wasn't spectacular. I mean, I didn't get to see Thor, so I'm not sure what to expect between that. Because I was thinking they should have taken what's-his-name who directed and acted in Iron Man and have him do these ones.
John
Favreau, but he was off doing Cowboys and Aliens. So I felt that with him doing that, it's kind of a little bit off from what I was thinking that they could have done with this movie, but definitely they made Captain America seem pretty badass.
Or at least get Kenneth Branagh, who directed Thor.
Yeah, that too. But for the most part, I think the Marvel aspect of it is kicking a lot of ass next to how DC has handled their comic two movies, you know, set up. So.
Awesome.
Yep, that's what I got to say.
Anvil, which movie do you have on your table?
DOA.
DOA.
Dead on Arrival.
Now, what's this DOA about?
It's a mob movie.
Mob movie?
Yes.
Go on.
Oh, well, you asked me what it was about, so I told you it's a mob movie.
That's a genre.
A genre is action, horror...
Adventure.
A category. Fine, so, it's a category.
Basically, what winds up happening is you start off, and they're looking for the boss. And they're like, okay, you know, people keep on saying, hey, where's the boss? Where's the boss? Well, it comes all the way down to they find out, you know, they call up the driver, and the driver's like, oh, I don't know, why should I know? So they find him, and they're like, he's dead. What?
Yep.
And they go out to a school bus, and it's blown to smithereens. They said that he went into a meth lab and dies.
Yeah.
That's the way to go.
I know. So the entire movie, they're trying to find out what happens to the boss. Killing people. You have one guy who's just sick, sadistic, I don't care how I kill you, I'll dismember you kind of guy. And then you have the good guy, you know, the one that's trying, you know, to keep people from dying. They get the mob boss's son, he kills the driver.
Mm-hmm.
But just then you find out that, you know, the girl that the son's been messing with, daddy's been messing with too.
Right.
So they go to the whorehouse. And they're sneaking around, but he calls and gives a heads up. So I'm like, okay, what's going on, right? One of the guys is peeking through the window, and there's a really good looking girl laying there in a bra and thong.
I'm like, yep.
Ooh. Then the girl comes out and she's got a towel on. I'm like, nice.
Nice.
Mm.
But then the one in the towel drops the towel and comes walking out of the bathroom to the other one instead of rubbing lotion on. I'm talking a decent
lesbian.
I'm saying this movie
decent
because of that.
Decent
softcore
porn. Anyway.
No.
How was it compared to the Black Swan scene?
I actually think I enjoyed this more. I mean, there wasn't any going down and under, but I think I liked it more.
There wasn't any going down and under? Going down to Australia? The map of Tasmania?
During this, there were guns. Then there was shooting. And the two chicks die. It was phenomenal. And it leads into these really good scenes. It was awesome. But then you find out some other stuff. As you go along, like, I don't want to ruin too much of the movie, but one of your main characters set up the entire thing.
Oh, okay.
So I'm not going to give too much, but I'll give it a 4 out of 5.
Excellent.
I thoroughly enjoyed this movie. And this was something that I couldn't sleep, and I'm up at 4:30 in the morning, and I'm watching this at 4:30 in the morning.
Wait, now you said it came out in 2010? Is that what you said?
Yep.
Okay.
So was this like a direct DVD or was it like a
foreign film? I'm not sure. I found it on demand. Oh, okay. So if you have Comcast, you can find it on demand.
Yeah, okay.
As long as you have the specialty things like Showtime, stuff like that, you find it on there on demand.
Okay.
Awesome. Hey, you gotta check that one out then.
Yes, so I think you guys will like it. It's kind of gruesome.
Mm-hmm.
And then the final twist at the end, you're like, what? No, wait, what? And you know a movie ends awesomely when a dude loses his tongue.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, they cut it out and you see him holding in the blood squirting and he throws it to the ground.
Oh, like in Ichi the Killer.
No. Because it's not like the little bit of the tongue.
Oh.
I'm talking the full, you know, long length of the tongue, the blood squirting.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So not as funny.
No. Only thing I would love to have seen more with that is more screaming from the person that lost their tongue. But it seemed like they were just trying to be Mr. Tough Guy on it.
So it wasn't like him calling someone on the phone. And everyone was like, oh, don't call me while I'm at work. No.
No,
it was more just, holy crap.
It was meant for torture.
Yes.
All right, okay.
Okay, so I'm done.
All right, well, I think we'll move the anime on to for the next episode then.
Yeah, I didn't get to watch it.
Okay.
I actually did.
Well, screw you.
Well, you'll be able to remember it for next week, right? Oh, he made a little mess of himself.
Shut up.
Good thing it's water.
Well, I'm sorry. Like I said, I couldn't sleep at 4:30 in the morning.
Okay.
I was hoping to fall asleep to the anime.
He was hoping, but I guess it didn't work, so maybe there might be something good from this review next week.
No. I just suffer from bad insomnia.
Okay. So, let's stick a fork into this podcast episode. Remember, visit our website at bostonbassbrigade.com for recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the B3 crew. If you have any questions, comments, anything you want us to talk about on the show, you can reach us at thebastards@bostonbassbrigade.com. I'm on Twitter at king_baby_duck, and Anvil is on Twitter at anvil63.
Jeez. Anyways,
I got no strings to hold me down.
I'm twittering that. I enjoy pissing off the duck. I got the app on my phone now.
Good.
Yes.
Along with IMDb on here.
Fantastic.
And Kick Blue in the Nuts.
Ow. Anyways, we're also on Facebook, so we have the actual group, and we also have the magazine page part up there, so all I have to do is like us on the magazine and add onto the group, and you can ask us questions right there and then whenever we put up anything, or just ask us straight out.
We're probably going to be adding a question, who's your favorite bastard?
Mm-hmm.
We want to see who you think your favorite is.
Okay.
MySpace, we don't really give a crap about anymore, so,
does anybody care about MySpace anymore?
No.
I think last year they signed up 4 new people.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, they were in there. You know, the demographic now is between 90 and 100.
Yeah.
And they thought MySpace was still cool. Check out our sisters at the Electric Sisterhood at esh.mobi. Go over, show them some love, along with the Issues Guy and JC Sargent, Geek Agro, the Vagabonds, Gamer Reaction, Matt the Wad.
Woohoo!
Richo Photography.
Richo Photography. Cage Titans, which is their next event, September 10th.
We're going to that one.
We'll be there with bells on, or at least Blue's going to have bells on.
Yay!
He's going to wear them in his ears. He's going to go, dee 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 dee.
No, people at work have been saying, damn it, you keep scaring me. We have to put a bell on you.
Yes. And also the Cage Titan Ring Girls, best looking ring girls in New England. Also, if you're free, go check out Cage Titans' new website at cagetitansfc.com. Also, check out the Boston Brawlers and Get Punched. Great merchandise.
Anything from contemporarily out of order lately?
Not right now.
Okay.
They're still going to work on some stuff soon.
Alright, cool.
So, I'm out of breath and talking too much?
Yes. Alright. So, until next time, this is King Baby Duck.
Cheers. Boom.
Jared, you stepped all over me. Alright, fine. Blue on it. Anybody?
That was for that golf.
Oh, and
saying sayonara, bitches.
We are
the Bastards.